Random thought. Mm-hmm. How many breaking points do you have to go on a reality TV dating show?
Must be lots. I only have one. I got one.
I wouldn't have made it past this episode. I don't think I'd have made it to this episode if I was on this show.
Yeah.
Whew. You know what? The word of the day is patience. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out swearing overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 20, Seattle. Recap of Episode 7. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Indeed, indeed. You know, definitely want to say that this has been an interesting one. I do like the fact that they've brought the dinner table back for everybody to go sit in. I do like the fact that we're going to see more of this, like with the experts sitting in and peeking in and watching what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. I do like this because that's part of what was on the UK version.
Yeah. Did you see in the comments of, I think, episode 6 of our podcast, somebody was asking about getting divorces. So I guess in the UK and Australia, when they're not really legally married, that's how they can say, do you want to keep going or do you want to go ahead and end it? And if one person says, no, I want to keep going, well, they have to. Well, here in the US, they're legally married, but they can't do that because then if you saw you can't really do that because that divorces are a public record. So I'm thinking maybe that's why they don't do that here in the US version. Because could you imagine you end it after episode 5 and then you got to hold on to the secret for a year?
Well, okay.
Not gonna work out.
But it's the same thing in all these other ones, right? Because we don't see it for a year. If they didn't make it, then they still won't divorce on time, right?
Right.
Miss Frazier says, I heard they aren't married anymore here as well, which would be interesting to see because does that now make it easier to walk away, right? Or is it because it just caused so much red tape? Why? That'd be an interesting thing to find out what really happened and why did they do that. But they haven't gotten to, we don't know if they're going to do the stay or not stay because they haven't gotten to that part yet. They've only gotten to the part of when they're sitting there, not when they're doing the full session of asking that, right? So, by the way, your head's getting cut off by the top. I don't know if you noticed that. Yeah. I'm going to just call you a big head and just tilt your camera up a little bit. And by the way, Mike says, so on Fridays, y'all run on time. We try to run on time all the time, man.
Damn, Mike. Goodness. Had Wi-Fi issues the last time and we ran a little late. Happens.
Oh, man. Look, let's get started on this one because, you know, there's quite a bit that happened in this episode that even though a lot of it happened in one scene, it was a lot happening in that scene. But before we get to the dinner scene, Marissa and Adam, we get to see them at first and see them try to be a little friendly, a little happy, a little flirty, but definitely not trying to go deep at all.
No, not at all, unless you're talking about tomato soup, grilled cheese deep. I mean, they got deep in that. Mm. But conversationally,
and
no.
Macaroni, apparently.
What's funny is, to me, it seems like Adam does a great job of talking about his past relationships without really talking about his past relationships. There's just no depth. It's like saying, I've dated some people, just didn't work. Okay, why? Why did it not work? Why not share some more stuff with Marissa and get a little bit deep? These two are just kind of surface level having fun with it.
Right. Or like Kevin says, Marissa and Adam are acting. They're acting like they are in a relationship, I will say, because she's having, I think she wants to know more. She wants to get a little deeper, but she's playing by his rules, right?
Yeah.
She's following his lead and he's going, well, this is where we are, right?
Yeah.
Slye says, Adam is as deep as a salad plate, which on my side of the table is extremely shallow. Because there's nothing that can fit on my salad plate. Sumter B says Adam is as shallow as that pond he lives next to. That's a pretty big place, though, I think. Marissa wants to work it out, so she's just going to go with it. Exactly what she thought when she went in there, looked at the place, was like, this is a horrible place, but I like him. He's got broad muscles. He needs broad shoulders, big muscles. We're good.
And a jet ski. Don't forget the jet ski.
And a jet ski. Which she would take the slower jet ski, but he's like, no, you got to come on here with me. And Trinity Divine says, well, they're having sex, though. And that, which they hinted at from night one, right?
Yeah.
And that may be the issue. Do you think she's hooked because of that? Because it seems like she's putting up with a whole lot.
That could just be her MO in all her relationships. She just lets the guy take lead, and whatever he does, wherever he is, that's what she's going to follow suit and go with. So maybe that's the thing. I don't think it's just the sex. Could be the jet ski, though.
Or could it be like what Sly is saying? Marissa's people-pleasing.
Well, man-pleasing. Maybe not all people, but she will please her man. And
Adam-pleasing.
Yeah, Adam-pleasing. Very much Adam-pleaser.
Because, look, he said he's been wanting to get married since he's 18. I didn't believe any of this. And that he's a relationship guy. Nothing about him says relationship guy. Why is she so quick to believe him?
His house doesn't look like you're a relationship guy.
Right.
Your house looks like you are a single bachelor guy and women can't come over.
Right.
That's what it looks like.
And they're probably scared to come over. By the way, Kevin's going the other way and says they aren't having sex. I'm not buying anything with these two.
Okay.
Interesting.
Kevin says, show me proof.
He said, let me hear the macaroni on camera. Yeah.
Check tape.
You know, we know dinner's coming up, but before we get to dinner, we do get to see some of these couples as they're getting ready. Michelle and Cameron, why does Michelle think there'll be drama?
Well, if she's watched the show before, there's going to be some type of drama. She just knows it's not going to be them because this couple is boring. Mm-hmm. They're cute. I'm happy for them, but it's just... Every time, there's always one couple where you're like, why are they on screen? Next.
Well, so here's what Michelle said, though. And I didn't think about this, and I think it was called out early on, the fact that there's 20s, 30s, and 40s. Michelle says, her and Cameron, they're the second oldest couple, so they have to be mature and set the standard since the oldest couple acts like they're in their teens.
So you think that was Shades and Nikki and Sean?
It has to be. Because, geez, like, what the hell, right? We do get to see Belle, Julie, and Mecca. And we find out a couple things, like Mecca saying that he's being more affectionate. And probably more so than Belle, Julie, because if he didn't initiate the kisses, they wouldn't kiss at all day.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you tell someone I'm not attracted to you, but I'm here.
Yeah,
we're married, but I'm not attracted to you, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. You know, I know you really attracted to me and me. Yeah. Kind of, sort of, you know, if I get enough liquor, I might find you attractive. Which is wild for him to say.
Yeah, they're more like BFFs. And even that little kiss where they're in the bathroom and kisses one hand, it just looked fake.
Yeah, I think they put on so much for the cameras.
Yeah.
Now, when you want to talk about a couple that's putting on for the cameras, these two are. And we'll, especially Mecca, and we'll get to that in a little bit too, because he definitely put on at dinner, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of putting on for the cameras, Courtney and Nick. Nick, obviously, being the reality TV show veteran that he is, he says that they're going to start seeing some cracks in other people's relationships when we all know he should be worried about his.
Well, 100%, because it seems like he doesn't see the cracks in his, but no. I peeped something during this conversation. So he's asking her about her previous relationships and brings up the physical touch stuff. Mm-hmm. And he goes, so is it like in a year? And she turns around and is like, Nick, I'm not going to make you wait a year to have sex. He didn't say have sex. He just said physical touch. And I think Courtney thinks it's all about that. And I was on her page at one point. And then and when she starts talking about, intimacy and sex, and I was like, maybe this is why she gets cheated on, because she just can't connect with people. But then it hit me. watching Nick, I'm like, I get why she doesn't like him. Nick is not confident at all. Like, Courtney is a strong, dominant woman. And I've dated people like that, kind of a B word. You got to have a different type of mentality to date somebody like her. Nick doesn't have it. Look at every time he talks, he laughs about everything. He thinks everything is going great. He's not sticking up for himself whatsoever in front of her. And so I'm like, this is why she doesn't like this man.
I'm with Mimi. I'm sorry, y'all. I have to say, Courtney's a rude. You know, here's the thing. She didn't finish that full thought of, I'm not going to make you wait a year to have sex. It's going to be a lifetime. It's a lifetime. You're never
going to make it that far. Never going to get it. Never going to get it. Never going to get it.
Taylor made. Courtney is a whack. Paris says, Courtney and Nick are the couple I always skip through. So boring. If you don't like to see verbal abuse, then you'd also skip through these two because, like CXM says, Courtney's rude and mean. And she doesn't see it. It's bad. And it only gets worse, right? The thing, though, I noticed, Nick asking, says he doesn't know anything about Courtney's previous relationships. Why haven't they talked about it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Haven't had a lot of depth conversations. And what blew my mind, I mean, he's like, have you had any serious relationship? And she goes, I haven't had anything meaningful, just a 2-year one and a 1-year. And I'm thinking, how are you with somebody for 2 years?
Right.
And that's not meaningful. How are you with somebody for 1 year? And that's not meaningful. I get, 2 or 3 weeks here or something, but 2 years?
Mm-hmm. You know, Nick also asked her a question. Do you think you're ready for a romantic relationship? To which you would say,
yes, just not with you, is what she wants to say. I am with a romantic relationship. Just you're not it.
Very true. Okay. Great question. Dishonest answer from her because she just said yes. She just didn't finish the rest of it out loud to your point.
Yeah.
A quick shout out to everybody rocking with us, whether you're watching now as part of the live crew or later as part of the replay gang. Do us a favor and hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Jones. And if you really want to support the channel, join the regulars by becoming a member. Use the shortcut and scan the QR code on the screen. It's less than $3 a month. You'll get custom emojis, early access to random thoughts and RGRT pod reaction videos and more, including members only live streams for story time with Terrell.
Yeah, episode 6 is up. Terrell got a girlfriend. And to the replay gang, hit that hype button. And to all of our podcast fam, listen on your favorite app. Thank you to do us a favor. Leave us a 5-star rating and a quick review. And for those of you who'd like to support in style, check out the merch store. Scan the QR code over Terrell's left shoulder. And thank you in advance for your support. And everyone who has hit that subscribe button, we do thank you as well because, we're on that mission to get to 10K. Today's the day.
Yeah.
Today's the day. We said by the end of July, right?
Yeah. So I guess we're going to have some rollover missions. Get it?
Have some side missions.
Yeah, some rollover missions, like minutes. Yeah. Have some rollover missions.
Yeah, it's the 31st already. I'll be damned. I know the year was flying by, but you know what wasn't flying by? That 10K. Hey, look, if you're here and you haven't subscribed, please do us a favor. Just hit that subscribe button.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it. And let us know that you made it this far, okay? I was going to go with another word before, right? But I figure we should do this one for Courtney. And just leave the word rude. Or mean. I'll give two. Rude or mean. I've seen that come up.
Say something else.
Oh, no. I'm not.
I thought you guys, I'm like, oh, he's doing it.
He's going for it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do that. You know, I mean, now, granted, when I do say it, I mean it, but. And I would mean it, but I don't know her personally, so I'm not going to do that to her.
Yeah.
Now, if I did meet her and she was that same way, okay, different story. But yeah. Leave that in the live chat, and for the replay gang, make sure you leave it in the comment section. We do appreciate it. See, look, I figured people weren't going to go with just one, even though some to be went cruel. we get to the couple's dinner, right? And one of the things that we do notice is that Dr. Paz and Paul are watching. Unbeknownst to the couples, do you like this?
I do. I think this is very interesting because you always, with previous seasons, you used to always ask yourself, like, are the experts seeing this? And at what point are they going to jump in and say something? So it's great for them to see this live and watch how the couples interact and talk about what's going on in their relationship. So I like it.
Okay, so they meet up, and we do get to see a couple things, which is, I don't know if you noticed this, but I did as he was walking in. Did you notice the tag on Adam's outfit still?
Because he would be tacky enough to bring that back and return it.
I know I'm not the only person who saw it.
I saw it. I was just thinking to myself, why would you... Why'd you do that? But I'm like, it's Adam. It doesn't surprise me. That whole outfit. I mean, this is where I look at Marissa, because this is when you talk about Marissa goes with the flow.
Yes.
No wife would let their man come out dressed like that. No wife would. But she just went with the flow. I like when you're just you are being your authentic self.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one to see that. Something to be said, yes, that damn tag. He's a cartoon, so on serious. Sly A saw it, that tag. CXM saw it. Mimi said, hey, the cameraman even zoomed in on it. You know,
yeah.
Let's just say, I'm just glad it wasn't Mecca or Sean that did it.
Wasn't us.
You knew where I was going. You knew exactly where I was going. Because he would have been like, why would it have to be, you know? and CXM said he had a tag on two of his shirts. It's kind of wild that this guy's doing it, right? What else did you notice when they're coming in? Because I think we did see what should have been, or what was sort of perceived by the experts as a touching moment from your favorite couple, Rude and Nick.
Well, they walk in and Courtney says, hey, let's make Dr. Lisa happy. Let's hold hands. Wow. And so, yeah, that's what I want. If someone says, hey, the camera's right there. Let's hold hands real quick. As soon as they walk in, I'm free. Done with the hand holding. So that was lame. Caitlin and Devin, though, looked good coming in. If we remember where we left them in episode 6.
Yes.
They look like they've come a long way. So I'm excited to hear how their relationship is going.
And then Nikki shows up alone. And yeah. I like that. The experts didn't buy the excuse. Oh, well, you know, he had a work thing. He'll be here later.
Yeah. I was like, no, that sounds like we got into a fight last night. And I don't know if he's showing up or not.
Right.
But I'm here.
Which apparently there was a double date the night before. And, you know, there was some conflict, yeah. Which we'll get into as we get to the dinner. As the dinner is getting there, I think it was Adam who asked Tori to lead the prayer. I'm not quite sure what church she went to and learned this prayer. But be sane and not go freaking crazy to end the prayer is wild.
Hey, God knows your heart, right? He's not going to judge her for that like you are. He's not going to judge her for that. So, hey, let Tori pray how Tori wants to pray.
High Vibe likes it, says I like Tori's prayer. Obviously, you did too. This is why the two of you always vibing. High Vibe and Terrell.
Yeah. How many times have I said grace? Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Yay, God.
God is good. God is great. Thanks for the food that's on my plate. Let's eat. You got time to let this thing get cold. You got to thank everybody. Nikki B says Tori's also a joke. Mimi says that prayer didn't reach past the top of her head. Tyler says, as an agnostic, I rock with it. It was inclusive. Sinan's fan says, hey, that's that millennial prayer. Kevin says, Tori is fake. Oh, we just going all the way out the window, right?
Wow.
And Sly A choosing violence. Nikki looked better alone without that man. Mm. You know, Nikki kind of makes people have to pick sides. Because Sean made people pick sides, and I'll be damned if this doesn't happen as we get there. And we're going to get to them. because, geez, this is a whole lot. Let's get to the first couple, though. You know, Captain Caveman, a.k.a. Adam and Marissa. Adam says that they're absolutely vibing every day. And I just don't take a lot of stuff he says seriously just because of the way that he, the way he says things. He always has, I mean, he has these little terms that he uses, like he's still a frat boy. He's like, he's still in college, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's just no depth, right? You can just say, hey, we're vibing. And that's it. That's a mic drop for him. Well, what do you mean? Vibing? Could you imagine dating somebody and like, hey, babe, just how you feel about me? Or everything going on? Oh, we're vibing. Okay.
I think Nikki's deciphered the code.
But even if they are having sex every day, if vibing translates to sex, there's still no depth to them.
You know, Courtney asked Marissa, what do you love about Adam besides him being fun? Which I thought was a great question. Dr. Paz thought it was a great question, too. Was it?
Well, it was a great question because it brought up the fact that, yeah, all they're doing is having fun. They're keeping it light, but they haven't had any really deep conversations to really get to know each other. And then, you know, I like how Nick says, hey, I think that's awesome for you guys. I love the vibe. I love what you guys are doing. I wish we had that. But yeah, that's what he says about Courtney. But he's like, there's a timeline to this. There's an end date. Mm-hmm. So how are y'all going to try to get through to that point? Are you going to start getting deeper, doing more things than just vibing with each other?
You know, and there's something that happened after them. We'll get to them in a second. Felipe asked about their five-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
So he tries to get them to think a little further down the road. You notice they had no answer for that. Oh, we're just going to, well, you know.
Yeah, just vibe. Vibe and jet ski. Next 5 years. That's what we're going to do.
That's all it is. Now, here's the thing. You brought the question that Nick asked them about, you know, hey, it's crunch time. There's all of this. What is going to happen? He says that he expected them to say, you know, give a deeper answer. Like, I love how thoughtful Adam is. Yeah. Courtney's response to that was kind of wild, though, wasn't it?
It was, because she made the comment that Adam is the hottest one of all the guys in the group.
Yeah, so he doesn't.
And at that point, if I was Nick, I'd have been like, hey, Dr. Lisa, Paul, y'all back there, can you come over here for a second? Take my mic.
Yeah.
Take this off. I'm out. I'd have been done. At that point, the fact that she said that.
Yeah,
I get it. I know there's people that look better than me, but you can't be with me and be like, Terrell, so-and-so is the hottest person in the room. I'm like, I'm standing right next to you.
Well, here's the thing about this. It's not. You're right. That is a terrible thing to say. You know what's worse than that? Her reaction when he was like, really? And she's like, oh, my God, I just did something wrong again. Like, yes, you did. Her reaction to his reaction was worse than what she originally said.
Yeah, and she tried to clean it up. Yeah, no, he's the hottest one in the room, but you're my husband, so you're hot to me. Stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to touch Adam. But again, remember I said that Adam energy, that Adam confidence, that's what Nick doesn't have. Mm. And that's the issue. She's into that type of dude.
Yeah. Lala says Courtney stays in everybody's relationship except her own. And Asum Tabi says Courtney unfortunately has daddy abandonment issues. That's why she thinks Adam is her Adam from the Garden of Eden. You think so?
But I thought her dad was there. Dad was at the wedding.
He was, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. His dad and mom are together. They were all fitness folks. Okay. I think she's been abandoned by her dad.
You think it's the athletic piece? Is that what it is?
I don't know. Maybe she's been pure and wholesome and hasn't had a whole lot of relationships. But I also think that if you are into a guy, you are at least going to touch him. Oh, Adam's wife. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, that's true. What you say.
Her dad wasn't around. Makes sense.
Good point. By the way, Dime Diva just says Courtney's horrible. And Philly Girl kind of wraps it all up. That fool gives zero Fs.
Yeah.
Which is quite obvious as this is going around, right? Okay, Courtney then continues to embarrass Nick, which is, she's telling the group that she needs time, you know, I'm a slow burn, I'm so sick. Look, between slow burn and parasocial, I am sick of certain words. I see them on social media, I'm tired of this parasocial word. I'm tired of the term slow burn on this damn show. If I hear it one more time, I got to make sure I keep the remote away from me so I don't throw it at the TV. You know what I mean? Because I'm tired of hearing it.
If y'all are out dating and someone tells you they're a slow burn, end that date.
Immediately.
Just be done. do not try to date that person, male or female. Don't do it, because they're letting you know mm-hmm. they're about some BS.
Or you do like what she said she wanted to do. You just do it, because she said when they were cuddling on the honeymoon, I'm checking my watch, and I'm thinking, I want to get the fuck out of here. And I'm like, yo, how many yeah. times are you going to say it as disrespectful as that in front of their man who's sitting right next to you?
She said it day 3 of the honeymoon to Caitlin. Mm-hmm. She says it in week 2 to Dr. Lisa, just that way, with the same emphasis on the F word. Mm-hmm. And then she says it again in front of the group. Now, it's been 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And you're saying it again as if you're still disgusted. And did you notice her body language when she was having this conversation? Mm-hmm. Adam is to where I'm at, to my whatever this is,
right,
my right shoulder. She's faced this way. I look, tell me this is my right shoulder.
Tap yourself.
Got to do the thing. L, left. But her body is just turning. Like, she is just not into this guy. And it just shows, which I feel bad for Nick, because you're in a lose-lose situation.
Mm. Kevin says it doesn't matter to Nick as long as he gets camera time. Dom Diva says Nick wants to be on TV so bad he'll put up with her foolishness, and it's a shame. It is.
It'll help him. It'll get women in his DMs. There are some women that like a guy like Nick. It's just not Courtney.
Now, Martian Picture says, I disagree, but on this show, it does mean they don't like them. And I'm assuming that's about the slow burn, right? I'm assuming that you're talking about slow burn doesn't necessarily mean you should get up and run. No, it just means they're not attracted to you. Plain and simple. That slow burn, if you have to say it.
Yeah.
Because if you are and you're just taking your time, that's cool. Nothing wrong with that. However, if you have to say it, it's because you're like, let me lower your expectations real quick.
Well, but also, I think you got to put it into context, right? So there could be people in the live chat that they might say, hey, I'm a slow burn. It normally takes me third date before I even kiss a guy, which is great. Mm-hmm. But that's not like this show where you are with this person from the time y'all got married at the altar.
Yep.
24/7.
Yep.
For 8, at this point, 2.5 weeks, they've been together every day. If you're still slow burning after all that time with somebody, yeah, it's on you.
Let me tell you something. Sometimes you got to hit fast forward. I remember my wife was like, after 10 dates, we go together. So I started doubling up on the dates. Then it was one date. Dessert was a second.
Smart. Let's go next door and get a piece of pound cake.
Exactly. let's get to date 10 so we go to Pound Town. Kevin says, Terrell isn't waiting 3 days for a kiss.
I did. With my girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're wrong, Kevin. How you like them apples?
You waited 3 dates?
Yeah.
Okay. Look at you.
See?
Patience in your old age.
Thank you.
Or like Sly says, either we're vibing or not. There's no slow burn.
Right.
And Tyler says, being a slow burn on a fast show is stupid. It is. You know, the thing about it is, after she says that whole, she wanted to get the fuck out of here, I like when Felipe is like, hey, how does it feel to be rejected by your wife? Great question.
Right. Great question. I don't feel rejected. I don't feel rejected at all. I just think she's expressing how she feels. And, you know, I have to understand that and respect where she's at. Bullshit, Nick. Nick, bullshit.
Nick is reading the lines from the script he thinks America wants to hear. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all there is to, right? Okay. I have to ask this question. Because we keep hearing the slow burn. And I almost feel like she's trying to paint this perfect, I'm a born again virgin after the first time narrative, right? But do you believe Courtney when she says she's never kissed on a first date ever?
I don't know. But here's what I could confidently say. She's never kissed somebody she wasn't attracted to on the first date.
Okay. There you go.
Bam.
That was the full. See, you've got to. You know how they talk about these shows are edited. Well, Courtney's just editing her own lines, right?
Yeah,
she's not giving all of them at the time.
Yeah,
not at all. Sean, though, I know we gave Sean a hard time. Mm-hmm. Do you like what he told them, and especially what he told Courtney?
Yeah. I love it because Sean wants to come across as the wise man. Let's call him Yoda. And what he says is that, hey, you know, Courtney, you are a competitive athlete. So when you're training for an event, right, you have a race because you figure they have 4 or 5 weeks left. You have an event. You start working towards things for that event. You get up early. You're running. You're training. Even though you don't want to. Days you don't feel like you're still doing it. That way you'll be ready on the day of the event. Well, this you got to say, I want to stay together or I want to not be together.
Right.
Here in like 4 or 5 weeks, what are you training for to be able to build some type of connection with Nick? And we all know the answer to that.
She's not trying to do any of that at all.
Nope.
She's like, I'm a high performance athlete. He's not. He can't even open a bottle of wine. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, beta energy. I mean, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Nick has kind of beta energy.
Felipe says Nick is very comfortable. And as all this is happening, he goes, yeah, well, you know, Nick is very comfortable with who he is. And then Courtney says, really? Hold my beer. Let me disrespect him some more.
Yeah. She says, no, I don't think he is comfortable with who he is. And then she tries to clean it up and says that this is, you know, all the guys, like all y'all aren't as confident as the ladies are. And you guys need to have more fucking confidence. And again, I made a note. I'm like, she's talking to Nick. Mm-hmm. She's not. You can't tell me Felipe is not confident. You can't tell me Adam is not confident. Mm-hmm. You know, they walk in owning a room. It's Nick you're talking about.
Right.
You just drug all the other guys into it, made them catch strays.
Yeah, but, and she's like, you know, I don't think any of you are comfortable, except Adam, you know, you're fine. Yeah. By the way, I did ask the question if you believe Courtney when she says she's never kissed on a first date. And the live chat has spoken on this. JC says, I believe it because she talks too damn much.
Wow. It's a show. They have to talk.
Well, to be fair, she's always like, say something. I don't like this quiet. You know, I'm like, oh.
Because there's cameras all over the place. There's people in there. It's awkward because there's people standing there waiting.
I don't like the awkward silence. CXM says, was Courtney sheltered or only went to bodybuilding contests?
Possibly.
Possibly. Nikki B says, I can believe no one ever wanted to kiss Courtney after a first date. Meanwhile, Dime Diva says, I don't believe anything Courtney says. Mm. And
all lies.
Sinan's fan says, she's had her back blown out on the first day. She's a former bodybuilder. They're known for getting it in. True.
Yeah.
haven't dated a bodybuilder before. Yes, you're true. You're right. You're right.
Gym rats, man. People that are hardcore gym rats.
Woo.
And don't get one that does CrossFit. Those people.
Next couple up that the spotlight was turned on. By the way, I love the way they did this, right? Because the way they kind of transitioned from couple to couple was great as you're watching. It was smooth transition. Terrible for taking notes, but great for the viewers, right? Beldrilli and Mecca, or Becca. I like the fact that Dr. Paz called out, even though he couldn't hear it, Mecca being performed. Yeah,
he was. Oh, when I saw that boot, no. You just said when you saw that booty when she came down the aisle, and then a week after that, you're like, yeah, I'm not all that attracted to you as much as you're attracted to me. The booty didn't change.
Right.
So you're lying. You're making it sound like she is just a smoke show to you, and you don't like her like that.
Okay. So when she said, oh, let me take a drink, was it because she's like, oh, I'm so hot and bothered, or let me take a drink, so I don't say, Ninja, you lying.
Yeah, I bet she's like, let me take a drink because this is bullshit.
Or as High Vibe calls him, Mr. 60%. Smiley says Mecca was doing too much at that dinner.
What were we saying? 60% what?
Because remember, he was 80% to 150. Then when he said, okay, no, you're 80, I'm 60. I'm like, Jesus. Next, he's going to go down to 20. Nikki B says,
I thought we were thinking straight, but that's fine.
Oh. This is why you and Nikki B vibe, because Nikki B is like, so no one's going to say anything about Mecca's cardigan with no shirt under and the scarf?
Styler.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Beldrilli does tell the group about the attraction question.
Right.
And I love what Adam said after that. So you friend zoned her, basically.
Yeah. Because that's how they interact.
Right.
They interact like they're just besties.
Mm-hmm.
Right? BFFs. So I love how Adam said that, because that's really what happens. You put somebody in the friend zone and you tell them you're not attracted to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing about it. Because if a woman had done that, and that whole, you're more attracted to me than I am, he'd be offended, right? So, yeah, we'd say they're friend zoned him. So definitely he's done the same thing to her.
Maybe. Yeah.
The next couple, Michelle and Cameron. Any notes from them? Because they just seem pretty straight-laced and boring to me.
In the U.S. version of this, I don't know if it's the same in the U.K. and Australia, but there's always one couple that's boring.
Right.
Everything's going great, and there's really not much to cover until they're going to force some drama with them at some point, you know, in the following episodes. But I didn't really have much. I mean, he says everything's going wonderful. He's told her about some of his fears, and she's helping him through that. I was like, okay, great. Next couple.
Nikki. Yeah, I like Nikki B. Michelle's a gossip. I like her. This couple seems to have made leaps and bounds from where they were before. Caitlin and Devin, right?
Yeah. I mean,
Devin even starts off, and, you know, again, watching this with my wife, she's like, boy, it's only been about 4 days. Calm down, right? When it came to Devin. And apparently he hurt her, because he says he came into the experiment with expectations, and he came in like a cannonball. It was like cannonballing into a frozen lake. And I like how Caitlin's like, no, no, let him finish, y'all, because everybody's reaction immediately was like, oh, at least let him finish, because this gets a little bit better. It doesn't make me seem that bad, even though she was. No,
she was. She was. She was an ice queen in the beginning. But I like how Devin owned it. But just their energy, just the way they interact with each other. She's making a little bit more eye contact. Like, it looks like a flirty situation for two people who like each other, right? Compared to what we saw in episode 6, they look like they are doing just fine. And I like how Courtney like tried to call out, well, can you handle an independent woman? Because you remember Courtney and Caitlin, you know, BFFs. And I like how Devin said, yeah, I mean, I can handle being with an independent woman. It's just an adjustment for me.
Difference of opinion in the live chat. Dime Diva says, nope, still don't like Caitlin, and she's doing a number on Devin, which I still believe so, too. On the other hand, where did it go? I missed it. Oh, there we go. It is. I have it. I can't read right now. Assumpt to B says,
yeah,
these two could work if Devin stops whining and bitching every 5 minutes. Do you think he's whining and bitching every 5 minutes?
Well, it's not that he's whining and bitching every 5 minutes, but let's think of it like this. Any of the people in the chat, guys in the chat that were athletes, when you were a star athlete, your dating was different. You didn't have to chase somebody most of the time. That's just flocking to you. So you look at Devin's lifestyle of being an athlete, and now he's a professional rugby player. There's a lot of fandom around that. There's a lot of people that if they were to date Devin, they could be all over Devin. So he's just used to that. Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit different for him. So I get why he's whining. But yeah, first 6 episodes, he's a little whiny. I get that.
But okay. Okay. I'm going to leave it alone. Yeah, I don't think it just is. You can tell when somebody's into you and when they're not. And if plain and simple, I don't need you to be over me all the time. But damn, at least act like you like. When I'm talking to you, at least look at me. When you're talking to me, at least look at me.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really, it doesn't look like she really wants to do that, right? Then we get to see Tori and Felipe and go down their path, because Felipe says he was a doubter of this process.
Yeah.
He didn't believe in it. But now he's starting to really believe in this process, and, you know, things are good, right?
Could be why he didn't take it serious when he was going through the interview process with Paul.
That's true, too. Because even Paul said he expected him to be the guy dressed like Adam. Which made me go, then why the hell did y'all cast him in the first place? Because remember, we asked that in episode 1. Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
The man didn't even make any of your meetings on time. But anyway, Tori now decides to tell the group about their about them getting intimate. Were you surprised to find out she's the one that initiated it, as she said?
Well, I was, because the way they showed it to us is she was laying on the sofa. He was on top of her. Mm-hmm. And they're having this makeout session. Then he stands up, all right, let's go to bed. But yeah, I think it's great that she's saying that she initiated it. And I like how she keeps reiterating that nothing was wrong. Because I think a lot of us, if someone slept with you and then says, yeah, I don't think we should do that anymore, you're not going to feel good about yourself. And so I like how she keeps saying it's not him, because that would be in my head.
Well, yes. especially if that's the only person that you're supposed to be with.
Right.
Now, if it's just a hookup buddy and they say that, you're like, all right, well, you know, if they're like, oh, next time I do this, it'll be my boyfriend. All right, well, let me know when you meet him and we can hook up again after. That's what you do then. He can't do that because this is his wife, right? So he can't do that. So I feel what you're saying, but, you know, Beljoli asked about their fears and Felipe said he's scared of the passion fading.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that passion fading has to do with the fact that Tori has now pulled back and said, hey, I know we're about to cross the finish line, but we need to go back to the beginning of the race and start all over again. Do you think that's why?
I don't think so. I think Felipe likes those first, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of a relationship where it's just all fun. You're all over each other, not really getting that deep. You're just having a lot of fun and a lot of sex.
Mm-hmm.
He likes that part. And then the long-term part of a relationship, it's not going to be that way all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, people can be together 20, 30 years. It'll ebb and flow. You'll have moments of the butterflies and excitement coming and going, but you're not going to be just psyched about a person from day one forever. So I think he's worried that he's going to lose that feeling of the endorphins you get from that first 5 weeks.
Or the first 5 minutes.
However long it took. However long it took.
Magnolia Bell says, Felipe is going to probably cheat. Let's not put that on him. I mean, come on, man. Let's give him some grace. Okay, well, never mind. Because as we go through the chat here, Kevin, Felipe was whacking the sack. Oh, like Nikki B said, Felipe had to tell Tori to clear that ish up. No charges over here.
You better let him know. With me.
People are not believing it, though. Secret heiress. Tori gave it up too soon and got disappointed. I mean, couldn't it just be in her head? Nope, because Sedan's fans, it is him. The eggplant was trash. Damn. It could have been her playing in her mind. No?
Or maybe he's used to being with, because I worked the restaurant life for many, many years,
mm-hmm.
him being a restaurant manager that mainly works nights, that goes out partying to everybody, he likes those 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds
mm-hmm.
that are just there for fun. Yeah. You know, they're working there. Y'all kind of hook up a few times. He's not used to having to deal with a woman. So those young ones might think that his sex is the best.
Kaywoo says Felipe will cheat when he gets bored. He acts like he can't control himself. Always Lisa says Felipe is into stranger love. And CXM says Felipe is in lust. And Dina the Explorer, she went all Missy Elliott. Minuteman. Was it good?
Was it a good minute?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Was it a good minute? I mean, when I went skydiving, I free fell for 1 minute and it felt amazing.
Nikki B says, no grace for Felipe. Tori's body told her to run. She better listen.
Mm. Mm. Body rejected it. Maybe Felipe has bad pH.
Well, so would we be saying that if he's the one that ran out the room?
Well, I'm just saying, sometimes sexually you just don't, your bodies just react to each other a little bit different. And you're like, something's not right. You don't know why. I mean, you're like, yeah, this is not going to work out.
Sly says, if it is good, women stay. Ladies, has there ever been a time it's good and you didn't stay?
It's because he left.
Just want to put Sly's, philosophy here to the test, because if it's good, women stay. Does that mean, do you mean stay as in stay the whole night? They wake up in the morning because they want some in the morning too. Is that what it is? Nikki B says, hell nah. Fast Fashion says, nope. Sinan's fans, nope. Dime Diva, nope. Okay, so Fast Fashion says, if it's good, I'm knocked out in seconds. Slaye says, nah, we going round two, three.
I thought that was round 23. I was like, damn, Slaye. Shit. When do you drink water? When do you eat?
High Five says, good deeds hard to find and let go. Tiffany, yes, I like my bed.
Oh, my goodness.
And then Mike goes, didn't Terrell share before this had happened to him also?
Did that happen to me before? Yeah.
Wait. I knew somebody would actually say it in here, too. You had to happen before. Is that going to be a story time?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell the story. Yeah, but just sometimes you don't do your best.
Mm-hmm. It's happened to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do when you lose a game? You go back into training, practice, and you come back. And you go back. Hey, let's get it.
Michael Jordan went 100% free throw shooter.
Exactly.
He went 100%. Kobe went 100%.
Nikki B says, wait, I had to get back home to my man, so yeah, I left.
That's such a Nikki B thing to say. I totally could see Nikki B say.
She said, nightgown and leave. Oh my God, y'all off the chain. You know, the next couple up, Nikki and Sean. Mm. Before we even get to them, did you catch when it was, I think it was Belle, Jolie, and Mecca, it was the focus was on them. But did you catch Nikki telling Sean she's trying to think of how to speak on our relationship without embarrassing you?
Yeah. Yeah, Nikki is my first note. Nikki's a problem.
Nikki's a big problem.
She is a problem. I mean, if she's making it seem like Sean is the only one, you know, at fault here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've given Sean a hard time. Mm-hmm. Well deserved.
Yes.
He's got it from us. Mm-hmm. But I feel bad for him here because he's trying to explain what happened on the double date. And how that went left, because he made the comment to Mecca that, look, I really want to create a great space for my wife. If she has any anxiety, I want to find a way to take it away. If she has this. And Nikki heard that and told him, oh, so you think I'm anxious? And now she's offended and upset. It was crazy. And I love how Mecca checked her. It's like, hey, have you taken any accountability? Because he was with y'all.
Right.
So it's not just us that are saying Nikki's a problem. Mecca's like, I was with y'all.
Hey, even Kevin's like, you know that Nikki is whack if punk ass Mecca can see that she's the problem. Y'all just wrong, boy. I swear. But I do like the way Mecca said it. Look, I'm not trying to side with my guy Sean here, not trying to pick a side. But hey, do you have any accountability in this too, lady?
Right.
Because here's the thing. I don't know if you noticed this, but to me, watching this entire interaction of Nikki on this episode, she found a way to not embarrass Sean because she embarrassed herself.
100%. She did. I mean, she kept trying to put it on him. Mm-hmm. And even Devin, you know, kudos to Devin, call it out. It's like, you two have big egos. And that's the issue right there. And as he's saying that, what does Sean do? Puts his head down, starts messing with his phone. Yeah. Because people that are doctors, especially in academia.
They don't have no,
they're smarter than you. You're going to have some athlete tell me, shut up and dribble. I'm sure that's what Sean was thinking.
And I like that the experts saw that too and call that out. Because again, Sean is not void of blame in this.
Right.
I mean, Nikki wasn't taking it well either. But at least she was looking at him like, hey, as soon as you shut up, I got some words for you too, Devin. But mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Sean is just completely checked out, right? It is wild to me, though, that Nikki's been just blaming everything on Sean. And it really just comes off as there's nothing. She tells the story of them in the airport and when he called her the C word, which she said was just repeating something she said. But it's the C word, one of the two C words you don't say, as you like to say. And
right.
He shouldn't have said it, should he?
I mean, no. I think any woman, even if you're joking, oh, you crazy. Some people can lose it when they hear the C word. Mm. So he should have said it. And I think from what he's known about Nikki from the honeymoon before this flight back in the airport, You should have known.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to be called that.
Yeah. Look, he knew that very early on. From the first argument, you knew you can't. But here's the thing, and I see this quite a bit now, they're fighting for dominance. And I recognize this. When somebody is ticking you off and you know there's no way back the other way, and you see an opportunity to push a button, every damn time, you push that button. Every day. And that's what he did in the airport with her. He pushed that button. He realized that. And you can see why, because look, what does she say? She starts talking about this. She goes, she decided to walk away from the situation, which, by the way, didn't he try to end the conversation? She told him he can't control when it stops and starts. So wait a minute. How is this the case when you're now like, well, I tried to end it because that's what we agreed to do. And I'm 5'5", towering over him. And I like that the guys called out on that.
That was foul. That was so foul. And you could tell Sean felt embarrassed. Mm-hmm. But I like how the guys stuck up for him. And that was a shot that she was trying to take. And I like how Adam jumps in. It's like, hey, so, you know, that short thing was really uncalled for. Well, I didn't mean that as an insult. And Adam, I'm sorry, Adam goes, yeah, you did. But anyway, speaking of calling it, have y'all thought about just calling it? Which that's what I'm thinking at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, why do y'all even try to stay together and make this work?
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand that either. And of course, they're not going to call it, right? We know that. By the way, Nikki says, don't call me crazy because my crazy will come out and remove all doubt.
Okay.
Lil Eve, on the other hand, says, people have called me crazy for years. It doesn't offend me. See, there's some peace to knowing yourself.
Yeah.
When you own up to it, it's fine. Hey, look. I always say people try to show you they're crazy, show them you're crazier. Plain and simple. MWA says, okay, that was the C. Oh, that was the C word? Yes, that C word. The other one we won't say. MWA says, I thought it was the other C word. No.
No.
Okay, here's the thing, though. I think that other C word, correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, that other C word is more offensive to white women than it is to black women?
Oh, good question.
Because I think, and this may just be me, but I think the B word from a man to a woman is a little more disrespectful in the black community than the other C word, right? Let's see. Nikki B said, we black. We don't use the other C word. Smiley says, oh yes it is. Toya, yes, I don't care about the C word. Philly girl, yes. CXM, I never use the other C word. Dina the Explorer, absolutely, it's their kryptonite, not ours. Wow. Theirs.
Okay.
And Mimi says, nah, don't you call me that word either. MW says, I've only heard it used once in my whole life, the Tyson movie. And J-Ro says, true. I didn't even know what the C word was till a white woman told me. See? Mm. D. Michelle says, female is our other C word. Yeah, when a man calls you, well, that female, I can see why, because that could be triggering. I get it. And Sly, he'll wrap it all up, says, nope, both are offensive. Okay.
Okay.
You know, we're going to get back to Nikki and Sean, but I kind of want to keep this in the timeline just because we got to end on that terrible note with them in a minute. But, well, I guess it's terrible note to terrible note because Courtney, aggravating. I mean, yo, when she said, you only ordered the Jetta, I would have been like, yes, for one.
Yeah.
You order yours. You order what the hell ever you want.
Your producer's going to get you a ride. I'm good. Yeah, and this, she says, this is the first time you opened the door for me. And what does Nick say? I've always, this is not the first time I opened the door for you. That's just it. Nick is just too, you got to flip that, Nick. Mm. You got to be a lot more aggressive and not aggressive in a bad way, but it's just got to have more confidence. And someone says something like that to you, check them.
Yeah. What's up? Yeah. But he doesn't. And that's the beta energy that you were referring to earlier, right? But. Yeah. CXM, we did talk about that, by the way, just FYI, let me rewind a little bit. Nick wants to revisit the confidence comment on this car ride. And Courtney's acting clueless, like she didn't say anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that's her normal response to anything that she does wrong. It's like, oh, well, no, maybe I used the wrong word, but.
Yeah. Well, again, look at body language. She was focused on looking outside that window while he's doing all this talking. She didn't want to hear it. So she's not paying attention to him. And then she tries to bring up this fact that all the guys are good looking. And because y'all have always been attractive, you've never been rejected, and you never had women that weren't all over you, like her and maybe Caitlin to Devin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I do like how Nick says, hey, look, I've been rejected plenty, even on national TV.
Yeah.
Like right now.
Like right now. Right now. This is the rejection. I've experienced this before.
Kevin says, Courtney would have me as a TV villain because I would fight fire with fire. Oh, yeah. We'd get lots of TV time because you fire off words of jabs. I'm firing off words that are coming heavier than that. And it's just going to keep going back and forth. I'm with you, Kevin. I'm the same way. We do get to see after this, though. Nikki berating Sean.
Mm.
This felt like a mama talking to her child.
Mm-hmm.
Say, now you walk your ass home.
Yeah, because first of all, let me just say this. You're not going to wear my coat to keep you warm and talk shit to me. He gave up his suit jacket for her to be warm, and then you got to talk to me like I'm a child?
No. Chivalry has a limit, huh?
I'll take that coat right on back. Button it up.
That is a good point, though. Because it felt to me, though, in this moment, slices, give me my coat. As Kevin says, Sean is just there for the check now, because he just seems to be like, okay, I don't want to argue anymore. Was that for peace, or is that so that they can stay on the show?
I think he just doesn't want to argue anymore because it nothing positive comes from these two going back and forth with each other. And did you notice, as he's trying to tell her that, she keeps interrupting him as he's cutting them off and, mm-hmm. you know, oh, trust you? All those different things. And the note I made to myself is Nikki is too mature and too accomplished to make herself look like this.
Yes.
On TV.
Mm.
Come on, you representing everything that makes you, your work, the pink and green. You're representing all that.
Yeah.
Look how
terrible,
you look,
by the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a good look. And then I want to say it feels like this is him wanting to win by saying, well, maybe you should just leave. Or did he say that knowing that she wouldn't, because she wants to win too? She wants him to leave.
Well, I think it was just out of being fed up, because she just keeps saying he's the problem. And he's like, yep, it's all me. I'm the only one that's doing this. Da, da, da. And she just keeps going off. He said, well, then why don't you leave then? Why don't you quit?
Mm-hmm.
It was that bad for you, because she keeps saying, I don't see this being something that can turn into, okay, why don't you leave then?
Mm-hmm. Toya says Sean is the problem. Dina the Explorer says Sean knows if she keeps yelling, she'll look worse. Yeah, and you know, the best weapon against a yelling person, I'm not just going to say a yelling woman, a yelling person, is calm. Because that really pisses them off even more.
Right? You got a bad man, I'm just going to talk to you nice and soft. Oh, wow, you're upset?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay. Tell me more about that.
And especially when they have people in their corner like Sinan's fans who's like, ooh-wee, that 5'5 looked about 5'10 during that scene.
Yeah.
I don't know. It didn't make her look good.
No. She didn't make herself look good at all, but yet she felt Sean made her look bad. It's like, no, Nikki, that was you.
Right. Right. You know, back in the apartment, Nikki says she wants space, right? Sean says, hey, I just want friendly conversation. She's like, I don't want to force friendly conversation. I basically want no conversation. Get the hell on.
Now, what did you think about what Chad said, that sometimes when there's conflict, mm-hmm. being in close proximity mm-hmm. can help help build up more conversation and more talking? In other words, saying, you should stay here. You're my wife. You shouldn't run because we had, you know, a disagreement.
You know, that works when there is vibing in the relationship, because then you could have makeup sex.
Makeup sex. Got it.
But in the words of Kevin, Sean is full of shit. Because only thing that's going to happen is more TV time for more arguments you're going to have. Sometimes you got to have your peace, right? And if she's like, I'm just going to leave, then just do it. Like Elsie says, Nikki, run. He told her to go. Then he said he wants her to stay and talk. Nope. Fierce Fashion says, I thought, shut your ass up. Why do you have advice for others, but not yourself? I get it. Y'all don't like Sean. I mean, he's done enough to make you feel that way.
And keep in mind, we talk about this all the time with these shows. There's editing. Mm. They have a storyline that they want to put out there. Mm. And so they've done a lot of things to make Sean look bad mm. through episodes 1-6. Mm. But I don't see a lot of the Nikki stuff. Mm. And we know it's there.
J-Ro says she didn't mean it that way. And Sean is lying. They both have issues, but it's interesting how y'all can't see he is full of shit. We've called him out.
Yeah, we did say he's full of crap. I didn't say he's awesome.
No, exactly. But we're just saying, as equal opportunity employers over here, you know, we do follow the rules of the EEOC.
Yeah.
She gonna get some of this too, because she's not right.
They're both wrong. 100% they're both wrong. They got to own their stuff. But for Nikki, she's not wrong at all. It's all Sean.
Yeah. It's, yeah. This has been interesting. By the way, Dime Diva says, I think Nikki is worse than Sean. Sorry. And Mimi says, we've seen 50-11 arguments and I'm tired. Mm-hmm. So I know they got to be tired. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Look, Replay Gang, let us know in the comment section what you thought about this episode. This whole dinner episode, drama at the dinner, drama on the menu. Who had the best showing at this dinner and who had the worst showing at the dinner? Terrell, I'll give you the options, right? I got three options for the best. Was it Caitlin and Devin, Tori and Felipe, or Michelle and Cameron?
Doing best or boring?
So that's your answer. Okay. Let us know who you think, who had the best showing at the dinner. Caitlin and Devin, Tori and Felipe, or Michelle and Cameron. And of course, we have to ask this one too, and I think it's going to be a close battle. Who had the worst showing? Was it Nikki and Sean? Some of y'all just said stop right there.
Yeah.
Courtney and Nick, or Belle Jolie and Mecca? Who had the worst showing at the dinner?
How come Marissa and Adam didn't make the list?
Because I think theirs comes later. They didn't have a bad showing there.
Yeah.
We just know they're full of shit.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. By the way, the best, here's where we get to it. Cameron and Mitchell and Michelle for it. Marie James says that as well, too. And best is Cameron and Michelle. Michelle. I was always hearing Mitchell. So apparently everybody's agreeing with you on that. M&C, talls and smalls. So for the best, the live crew is saying for the best is going to be Michelle and Cameron, right? When it comes to the worst, I think we already know where this is going. Mimi, I don't think she even let me get through the rest of the list. It was like, Sean and Nikki, first of all. Michelle says, Nick and Courtney. Nikki and Sean coming up again. Courtney by herself. Yeah, that's a good one, too. If that was an option, that would have been a good one, too. Philly Girl says, Courtney and Nick. Dime Diva, Courtney and Nick, and Nikki and Sean. Yeah, they were all bad. They were all bad. I see that a couple times, too. Lala's in there, too. So, and Kayu says, Mecca and Bell. I'm actually surprised to see that. I just put them there so we have three and not just leave it between the two. And Marie says, Sean and Nikki did more arguing after the dinner. Well, I mean, Courtney did too. Like Nikki B says, Courtney and her seven personalities came out in that car ride. So there's that. So there's that as well. All right. Look, episode 8 tomorrow.
Yep.
And then episode 9 Sunday. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We got a couple hours to go to meet this goal. I know we're holding out hope on that one. We might have to drag this another week or two. Dang. Feelings are hurt. Do us a favor, please. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe and hit that bell for notifications.
Jones.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Justerrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Justerrell, and at the RGRT pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit on the internet. We may talk about it on the show.
And yes, Mike, we'll be on time tomorrow. Damn it, man. One time. That's all it takes is one time. It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast.
Cheers.
We've been running this banter since way back in school, where the dorm room debates turn the cool into rules. Talking loud about the world like we're changing the game, but it's just us two, yeah. Two sides of the same. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the world to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Sports got us heated, yeah, the refs missed the calls. Politics, man, we'll argue till the walls fall. Pop culture don't get us started on trends, but the laughter, my dude, that's where it all ends. You say tomato, I say nah, bro, it's tomato. You think we clashing? Nah, it's the dance of bravado. No winners, no losers, just stories to share. So pass me that bottle and pull up a chair. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the word to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the word to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. When the combo's done and the bottle runs dry, we'll toast to the clash, to the lows and the highs. Two voices, one friendship, no need to compare. So come as you are and pull up a chair.